from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson. President Trump's decision to not release his income tax return in last year's campaign has led to a bill that now is on Governor Brown's desk. The bill would require presidential candidates to release 5 years of tax returns in order to appear on the primary ballot in California. KQED's Guy Marzorati has more.
Unlike most bills the governor is considering, the buck probably won't stop with him on this one. Jessica Levinson, a professor at Loyola Law School, says that's because Senate Bill 149 is likely headed to court.
If he does sign it, I'm pretty sure that the complaint is ready to be filed about 45 seconds after he finishes signing.
Levinson says there's never been a law like this, but the Supreme Court has allowed states to create ballot requirements for candidates, like charging a filing fee. Derek Mueller, a professor at Pepperdine School of Law, says the court has drawn a line at forcing candidates to reveal information that could influence the vote, like their race.
We understand it might be a truthful piece of information that voters would perhaps like to know for some candidates, but you can't kind of put a thumb on the scale against candidates who you kind of disfavor.
So would the requirement for candidates to release their tax returns be an administrative hurdle or a whole new qualification? That's the question facing Brown, who said this week that he's looking at the legal questions and will make a decision, quote, very soon. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati.
Victims of this week's Mexico earthquake are being remembered at masses and vigils in parishes across the Roman Catholic Archdiocese in Los Angeles. LA Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas attended one.
Less than 100 people gathered inside the ornate Our Lady Queen of Angels Church in downtown LA. But together, their voices could fill the heavens. Victims, survivors, the spirit of Mexico itself was mourned and celebrated in song and in prayer during a two-hour evening mass and vigil.
In Espanol or in English?
In Espanol, si quieres.
Tienes familia en el area.
Sí. Hoy ya lo estás grabando.
Outside the church, Galilea Camposano lit a candle at a shrine for the Virgin of Guadalupe.
Every week, I came to bring the candles and pray, and I ask, ay, help me, please, the situation is bad, you know.
Camposano says a prayer to the Virgin helps get her through the hard times, and this week especially. She left the Cuernavaca area 29 years ago. She was 16, and she's only returned once. The region was hit hard. Her sister is still there, other family and friends too.
Was there a special prayer today?
I prayed for the people. I was in from the Virgin Guadalupe, Virgencita de Guadalupe. My heart is broken because my city, my people.
Many other parishioners, even some from Guatemala and El Salvador, said they have no family in the areas rocked by the earthquake, yet they came to pray for their Mexican sisters and brothers. At a time like this, said one woman, we're all Mexican. We're all one. Church employee Maria Lopez has family on the edge of Mexico City. They're okay, but there's no power. Water is being brought in by truck. Their home is standing, but the store they work in is badly damaged, so they don't know what they'll do for work. Asked what her family and their neighbors need the most.
Oración y ayuda monetaria.
Money, says Lopez, and prayers. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
While rescue crews continue working to free the dead and the injured in Mexico City, residents who managed to escape unharmed are dealing with badly frayed nerves and, in many cases, no safe homes to return to. One Californian thought she knew all about earthquakes. Nora Mitchell from Los Angeles had felt dozens of small tremors, but after the 7.1 quake hit her new adopted home in Mexico's capital, she has a new cautious attitude. Reporter Emily Green has more.
That green pot flower plant you see, that's my apartment.
The 26-year-old Mitchell points to an abandoned building that is sinking into the street. The walls are cracked and nearly every window is broken. The street in front of the building is cordoned off. Mitchell moved to Mexico City 8 months ago to improve her Spanish and teach English. She was in her apartment when the earthquake hit on Tuesday.
and I felt it kind of slightly, and I knew that people here run out of the house, because in California it's not as common.
In California, they teach people that if you're inside, to stay inside, to get under a desk or table, or stand against an interior wall. Here in Mexico, people run outside out of fear the buildings will crumble on them.
There was the only moment I really remember is when we were kind of getting down the last little steps of the stairs, and I thought, this building's collapsing right now. And I think looking back now, it's because in that moment I heard other buildings. Like, that must have been the sound that scared me the most, because we're blocks away from two buildings that have completely collapsed.
Mitchell briefly returned to her apartment after the earthquake and got her computer, a few changes of clothes, and some power cables. Local officials say the building isn't safe, and they are deciding whether to bring it down altogether. Despite losing her home, Mitchell says her chief concern is the emotional impact.
Like, I have complete foggy head, and I think I've seen that in my friends, too. They haven't been able to concentrate on anything. They're extremely tired, like an hour passed, and we think it's been like 5 hours here. Yesterday was like one of the longest days of our lives. And we just walked around the city a little, and I think we just saw so much chaos that it really affected us.
Even so, Mitchell says she wants to stay in Mexico City. She loves it here. But one thing is for sure, she won't minimize an earthquake again.
That was reporter Emily Green.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Friday, September 22nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Katie McMurrin, Howard Gelman, and Seal Muller. Happy birthday to our producer, Jeremy Siegel. I'm Penny Nelson.